Hello and welcome to the Friday, March 1st, 2013 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. A guy by the name of Ferris Apokadajic published a simple proof of concept exploit showing how it is possible to launch a denial of service exploit against most browsers implementing the HTML5 local storage feature, which is pretty much any current browser. HTML5 local storage allows websites to store data on your desktop. Now, this local data can then be accessed via JavaScript. It's very different from cookies. The data is not sent with each request like cookies, but it also allows for more storage than cookies allow for. Cookies are limited to a couple of kilobytes, while local storage does have limits per domain. That depends on the browser, but it's usually a couple of megabytes, and there's no sort of strict expiration rule. Users typically have to allow more storage than the set limit for a particular host, but the browser does not check how much storage is used cumulative. So what this attack by Ferris does is it uses just different subdomains, so different host names, to then totally fill the disk. And while each one of the data blobs that's being stored per subdomain does fit within the limit that the browser sets for each host. So overall, the attack isn't really super critical. All you have to do is delete the data manually if you should be subjected to this attack. But the problem here is really the standard is a bit weak. The standard doesn't really say how long the browser has to keep the data around. There is no expiration time like with cookies, for example. And there is nothing about if the browser runs out of disk space, what to delete first, or any restrictions. Restrictions like this are really not defined and left up to the browser, and appears the browsers just don't care and don't do anything about this old data. And then we got more targeted attacks. Sophos is reporting about some targeted attacks against a Tibetan resistance group. Over the last few years, attacks against these groups have really made the news multiple times. They tend to be an interesting porthole into the larger problem of these targeted attacks, because these resistance groups typically are more open about sharing than large enterprises or government entities. In this case, the exploit itself wasn't really all that interesting, an old vulnerability against Microsoft Office's RTF parser. And then, like what we have observed before, the attack will not just deliver the Trojan, but also open then a legitimate looking RTF document to hide the fact that what you actually opened first crashed the viewer and delivered the payload. Now, what's interesting here is that the attack actually installs a legitimate NVIDIA binary, nv.exe. You may have it on your system. It's not malicious by itself. It's also perfectly fine signed. Now, what happens is that this is not another case where we had a compromised signature or such. This is the original NVIDIA binary with the original signature as delivered by NVIDIA. But the reason the attacker installs this benign binary on your system is it's really just to help the attacker to install the malicious software. This particular binary is vulnerable to the unsafe DLL loading vulnerability. We had this for a few years now where software is loading DLLs from its own directory or from the current working directory. In this case, the attacker will then install a malicious DLL with this perfectly fine exe, and then when the exe is started, the malicious DLL is loaded, and then you have your standard bot stuff happening. So the attacker is able to log keystrokes and download files. So really what's happening here is the attacker is installing a benign but vulnerable binary in order to then launch additional attacks. Because DLLs don't get the same scrutiny as executables, they easier bypass antivirus tools, whitelisting tools, or whatever you may have. So, lesson learned here, don't just watch executables, but also watch the DLLs that are loaded by these executables. And many speeding cameras around Moscow are currently not working due to a malware infestation of the system managing these cameras. The government in Moscow is losing about $3 million in fines each month that are not collected because of this outage. The entire problem is even worse because the company that manages these cameras just changed, and the new camera is alleging that part of the problem is that the prior company just didn't maintain these cameras correctly, and some of them are just not connected to power or are just in disrepair, and this at least makes this particular problem worse. There's no word on what malware caused this particular problem, but it doesn't appear to be a targeted attack, more something that just accidentally got released on these systems. And then remember, it's March, and March is our IPv6 focus month. So this month you'll see a couple diaries here and there that specifically cover IPv6 issues. If there's something you want us to cover or if you want to contribute, just drop us an email. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.